from the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yesterday, we met and mutually agreed to part ways amicably. And like a good marriage, a successful head coach-owner relationship requires a lot of hard work. And I'm very proud that our partnership lasted for 24 years. I don't think in the NFL there's been any other partnership that lasted longer and has been as productive as ours.
Final hour, Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We are live today in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, and we're brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now, during Truck Month, you can get a great deal on Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, for 47 years straight, and the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. We've been going around the horn on this a few different times here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We've been discussing the latest up now at ESPN from Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler, who's going to join us momentarily here. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. What was that for? Did I say around the horn? Is that why?
Sure did.
We're giving out points. Nice. We've been asking all day, and our big question of the game up now, big question of the day, rather, up now at Jones and Mego. Will Bill Belichick ever be a head coach again in the NFL? That number has gone up slightly from the beginning of the show. We were like 51-49. It's now over 52%, so it's slight. Why are you smiling over there, Mego?
The Super PAC is listening. Thank you. I love you. I see you. I appreciate you.
I'll tell you, Scal is clearly not a member of the Super PAC at all.
Well, Scal doesn't like old people. I've never met someone who's retired, even though he is in the NBA.
That was a wild answer. Our buddy John in the car in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, if you want to watch along or chat along. I don't know. Old people is such a typical Scal take.
He's like, isn't it weird when an older person decides to retire? It's not for me to say, but it's just strange, isn't it?
Then we named several people that he knows that are retired, and he was like...
Including himself!
Yeah, right.
Including himself.
I mean, he's still working, technically. But
yeah, I guess. But anyway, that's what old people do. They retire, is what they do. So that's what Bill Belichick kind of is sort of doing. He's in, like, pseudo-retirement. One other... there's a couple of things I haven't gotten to from the tail end of this story, and when Jeremy's on the line, we'll discuss with him. But Bill is pissed, like many in his inner circle, according to ESPN. He quietly observed the attacks of the Patriot Way in recent months. Let me just tell you what he's talking about there. The Dynasty, through Belichick's job hunt and fallout from that docuseries. A lot of people are pissed, a Belichick confidant said. His name was smeared. I agree with that, but apparently, just so you know, that's how Bill feels as well. This year, Belichick plans to travel abroad. I feel like there's just something sad about that. Like, Bill's just, like, finally getting to see the world.
Semester at sea.
Yeah, it's just like there's something a little sad about it. Like, on one level, you should be like, oh, great, he's going to go see the world, and he's going to go be relaxed. But you know he's going to have, like, no interest in that.
He's like October Paris.
Yeah, he's going to be like, is NFL Europe still a thing? Can I watch the Rhine Fire when we're over here? Like, you know, he's still going to be, like, so football-obsessed. And who's he traveling with, I wonder? That's what I'm curious about. You can speak to football programs around the country and writing a book, though not, and this is important to underscore, because I think some people think this book is going to, like, be Bill versus Kraft. Ohh.
No, it's going to be The Art of Boar.
It's not, exactly. It's not a tell-all memoir, but a football leadership guide. The Model is one of the books that influenced Bill most, Finding the Winning Edge. Bill Walsh's 550 pages to put his football genius on paper. And there's an anecdote in there that I cut off, but it's something like, well, you know, why are you going to put all your secrets in a book? And Bill's like, well, I can put anything out there. The magic is me. I'm the magic, which means he still believes in himself, that arrogance that Robert Kraft was talking about and ripped him behind his back to Arthur Blank and maybe everybody else around the league. That's still there. He still has that arrogance about himself.
That warms my heart. I like that for him, that he still has that self-belief. Even while he's in Paris in October.
Being a passport, bro.
Exactly. So we're joined now on the Harbor One Hotline by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Jeremy, what's going on today?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course, we've been reading today from your latest, along with Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham, how Patriots legend Bill Belichick is now out of a job. You guys portrayed it as him being voted off the island. Do you think he's ever going to work in the NFL again? There's a source quoted in there that thinks the one destination could be Dallas. Do you see him coaching there or anywhere else ever again?
Well, the people I've spoken to and people sort of in that coaching circle and industry do believe that he'll at least get a hard look or two, multiple interviews, at least one interview. And, you know, look, maybe he'll age well, right? You're coming off a year where he's in the shadows. He can sort of, you know, rebuild his image a little bit by making appearances like he had today in the Pat McAfee show. He has been going to colleges like Washington, Nebraska, you know, just to kind of breathe away from the game for a little bit. You know, people who are close to him that I've talked to believe that he'll be rejuvenated and ready to go and maybe even a more attractive candidate next year. So, but not everybody's sold on that. You know, that there's a feeling that you know, the Patriot way and that formula might be a little challenged and damaged a little bit. Plus, you have owners that clearly in this cycle valued collaboration, people that can work with a general manager that are, you know, probably on the younger side, up-and-coming coordinators, things like that, or people like Raheem Morris, who had a lot of backing from people around the league as a good collaborator. Even though it sounds like Bill was willing to do that in a new job, you know, the feeling is that others are maybe more equipped for that style.
Jeremy, thanks for joining us. I'm wondering, in the people that you and your colleagues spoke to, did you feel like there was more weight against Bill getting these jobs, and in particular the Atlanta job, more weight given to the sense of control that he would take over everything in the operation? Or was it more about the recent performances of the New England teams since Brady's exit? Oop, did we lose him?
Did Jeremy drop? Jeremy, hello.
Oh,
Jeremy,
hey, sorry, guys.
1, 2, 3. Oh, you're there.
There you
okay,
are.
Good. There he is.
Sorry about that. I would say it's probably a little bit of both. You know, as one source told me, that some people in Atlanta had more of a problem with Bill working there than Bill would have had working there in terms of the collaboration part. You know, like he made clear that he's willing to work with GM Terry Fontenot, that he probably would have liked the extra help and the relief that maybe he didn't always have in New England, where he kind of had to do everything. And in this scenario, he could just coach. But it's based on his style, and if teams feel like he's set in his ways, then that's easier to say than maybe to do long term. There was a feeling that if he got in the building, it might kind of revert to the way it was. And so there's that factor. And, you know, the age is a big part of it. You know, if he was in his early 60s, maybe this would be a lot different. And so, that you know, there are several factors that come into play.
Jeremy, the key part of this, I think, that's gotten a lot of people upset around here is the Robert Kraft aspect of it and the call that he made to Arthur Blank. Based on your reporting, because it seems like there was some resistance towards hiring Bill there within those walls anyway, outside of Blank. Based on your reporting, in your opinion, if Kraft hadn't made that phone call, do you think Bill would have gotten the job?
Probably not. I still think that there were enough people, can't say for sure, but I think there were enough people in the Atlanta circle that had other favorites, you know, because they essentially did take sort of a straw poll. And, you know, people had a lot of Raheem Morris, number one, and a lot of Mike McDonald, who's now the Seattle coach, and a lot of Bobby Slowick, you know. Other guys like Anthony Weaver, who's now the Dolphins defensive coordinator, made a good impression. Brian Callahan before he got the Titans job. So they interviewed a lot of people, and several were heavily in the mix and highly regarded. So yeah, I do sense in our reporting that the coming off of the yacht meeting that he had with Arthur Blank, that first interview, that there was some momentum and that he really had a realistic chance at it. Something changed. I think what loomed large in those changes is that the powers that be in Atlanta, the people in the front office, you know, just wanted to go in a different direction.
Talking to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. He's one of the co-authors of Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. He was voted off the island. He co-authored it with Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham. We've been talking about it all day here on ESPN. One story we haven't gotten to of yours that we planned on discussing more today, but then this story kind of trumped it, Jeremy, is you stacked via scouts that you talked to throughout the league. You stacked 11 different quarterbacks. And we're really interested in some of these quarterbacks at the top, from Caleb Williams really down to Bo Nix. What did you learn through that experience about these top quarterbacks and a potential fit in New England?
Yeah, so, you know, I got the chance to poll nearly two dozen people around the league and coaches, scouts, and execs, and these, you know, the feeling is things probably shook out like I thought. Not a lot of major surprises. J.J. McCarthy was really right there as like a fringe tier two, but kind of tier three guy. Like he's sort of number three and a half in the pecking order. A lot of teams I talk to, and I think New England, I believe, is probably in this boat that they have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy in that order. Which, you know, probably makes it pretty easy to telegraph the top. But, you know, we'll see. It's the draft, and there could always be wrinkles and smoke screens. But that's sort of the feeling around the league and probably how things will shake out. It just depends on where McCarthy goes. But, you know, Michael Penix and Bo Nix are two quarterbacks that are a preference. You know, like they're probably neck and neck for that fifth quarterback spot.
Jeremy, going back to the article from today, Jonathan Kraft has been featured in a couple of Seth's reporting, reports since the season ended, and he was featured close to the top of this report that you guys had together. I'm wondering, do you get a sense from speaking to people around the Patriots and around the league how much of a role Jonathan is playing in day-to-day operations with the front office and ownership?
Well, I can't say for sure the total extent, but you know, it's been known that he's, you know, a major figure there and has been pretty hands-on for a while, is the feeling, at least league-wide. And, you know, certainly Gerard Mayo being a new coach, bringing some new energy. There is a feeling there of a new vibe, which I'm trying to think of a better phrase for it. It sounds kind of cheesy, but I have heard that it feels like there are fresh ideas being kicked around there. In New England, you know, you have Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo and everybody else, you know, and Elliott's got his people that he's brought in. Gerard Mayo's got his staff members that can kind of follow through with his vision. And so you have a little bit of new life there after, you know, things have gotten dormant. So I'm sure Jonathan's involved in that to some extent, but it does feel like from a draft standpoint that it's Elliott's and Gerard's show.
One more before we let you go. You mentioned you believe the Patriots have the quarterback stacked: Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy. I have surmised, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. I've surmised that, you know, at least for the Patriots, the idea of a trade back or even McCarthy is a bit of a smokescreen. How realistic is the idea the Patriots could trade back and target one of the quarterbacks outside the top three?
Well, I'll say this, and this isn't necessarily specific to New England, but I would say that the McCarthy hype does feel pretty real. I know some teams wonder if this is a Will Levis situation where he's getting pumped up as a top five pick and then all of a sudden goes in the second round, but I don't think so based on the big season he had, the pedigree. He's a bigger athlete and with higher level traits than given credit for. Like, there's just teams seem to be high on him. I've talked to three different execs who think he'll go top six. So if you're even Washington, to an extent, I don't think they'll do this necessarily, but if you're like, hey, I really like J.J. McCarthy, and I do think they like him, do you try to move back from two to six or something, you know, and take him there? I think those conversations are going on because he is well-liked enough. Now, you know, at the end of the day, will he go later in the top 10? Maybe. But, you know, it really depends on where you sit. I don't get the sense New England's looking to move out right now. Certainly they would have that conversation, I imagine, and that will heat up over the next week or so. But most teams I talk to expect that they'll sit put, take a quarterback at three, knowing that you have Jacoby Brissett, can play some games for you or even play the whole year if you need. That'd probably be a good scenario for a guy like Drake May who can sit for a year and learn. And then they can
it's not a great scenario for us, Jeremy.
Them.
I got to tell you, that's not great for daily talk show. I don't know if we like that.
I don't want to watch a whole year of Brissett, but I hear what you're saying. But okay,
it might not be sexy, but you know,
it's definitely not.
They would have a veteran that can play. That's my point.
No, fair enough. He's Jeremy Fowler. You can check out all of his work. He's a co-author of the latest on Bill Belichick and what Robert Kraft had to say to Arthur Blank. We've been talking about that all day, up now at ESPN. You can also check out his article, Tearing Off Quarterbacks, after his conversations with scouts and decision makers around the league. You can follow him on Twitter at JFowlerESPN. Jeremy, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Jeremy Fowler is all our guests. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. So, a couple of items there. Jonathan Kraft, more hands-on day-to-day. Number two, he probably wouldn't have gotten the job in Atlanta, regardless of what Robert Kraft had to say, despite attempting to prevent Bill from getting that job, which to me is the real story. He also says the Patriots have the quarterbacks. He thinks Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and from who he's talked to, he doesn't see the Patriots trading out of pick number three. He expects them to stick and pick, and maybe, unfortunately, play Jacoby Brissett in the meantime. We can react to that, and we'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We have Meg explaining at 5:30. What's coming up there, Meggo?
Okay, unfortunately, I feel like this is not a great look for Meg explaining, and it's also becoming a little bit of a tradition. We have a post-marathon poop story that we need to address.
Okay, that's a very urgent matter that
Looking
we'll get to right after Trending with Arkin.